Does the Lord have His way in your life? I guess that's a great question. Good to see you this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to John in chapter 13. If you've been coming to the Sunday school, you probably heard part of this message previously. But things in the Bible are worth repeating.
Amen.
Repetition is a good teacher. One of the things that people don't realize is that when everybody's reading out of the same Bible, it helps by the mere fact of you're repeating the same thing.
Right.
So if you go to every church, every service, every time you read the Bible, you're reading the same thing. It helps you memorize it. Whereas you're reading different version, it becomes harder to memorize. So that's a point for one standard version of the scriptures. So John chapter 13... I'm going to begin reading in verse 12, but my text is going to come from verses 16 and 17. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments, and he sat down again. He said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the servant of servants. He is our example, and we're thankful that he died on a cross and he rose again the third day. We're thankful for the salvation and all the gifts we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that you'd have mercy upon each and every one of us. May your name be glorified. May you be honored. And we ask these things in a name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. One of the difficulties of modern technologies, we have some great blessings in that men have discovered some great things. Where would we be without electricity?
Right.
It's an amazing thing that we could have lights on here and see clearly. At the same time, I don't know what's going to happen to our nation once the lights go out.
Yeah.
Because everything is done electronically. Case in point, I had all my sermon messages on the computer. I was going to get up this morning and print them out, and we had no electricity. So you're getting my memory this morning. You're going to see how long it is or how well I can memorize. But I do have four points that I would like to bring out, four important points that I'd like to bring out in this text. First of all, the servant. That's what Jesus said. He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. So I think it's important that we talk about the servant. And then he said, if ye know these things, if ye know these things, he said, happy are ye if ye do them, or if you do them, then happy are ye. So those four points that I'd like to talk about this morning. The servant, if you know, if you do, and happy are you if you do them. So first of all, the servant. I don't know if you've thought about it, whether you're saved this morning, whether you know the Lord or not, but one thing you see in the scriptures is servitude. I told my boss the other day that I was a servant, and he looked at me kind of strange, like, what is that? I'm sure he's appreciative that I try to be a good servant, that I try to do a good job, just as your boss is no doubt happy that you try to do a good job. But you know, in talking about this, he says, the servant, have you considered those that think they can get to heaven by doing well? What kind of servant are you? I talked to people in Poland. A lot of them were disgusted with religion. They were fed up with religion. And so they consider themselves atheists. I don't know that they thought through the argument all that well, but they were they were tired of religion, and so when they would see us on the street trying to preach the gospel to them, they would say, I don't need the Bible, I don't believe in God, I have my conscience, and I live by my conscience. And I would respond to them, I wouldn't respond, well, you know, you're a fool if you don't believe in God, or that way. I would always ask them, how's it going for you?
Yeah.
If you're going to live by your conscience, then how's it going? And if you're going to earn your way to heaven, if you're going to get to heaven by your merits, by doing what is in the Bible, by keeping the commandments, or as some say, by keeping the teachings of Jesus Christ, then I'd have to ask the same question, how is it going for you?
Right. Amen.
And there's no greater marker in the scriptures to measure yourself to Jesus Christ to see where you stand. He was the servant.
Amen.
He did not have to be a servant. He chose to be a servant. It's one thing when a conquering army comes in and takes over a nation and forces the inhabitants into servitude where they have no liberty and they're forced to be a servant. There's that one type of servitude. You don't have an option. But Jesus here, it seems to me, expects you to choose to be a servant. To willingly be a servant. You know, it's one thing when people force you to do something, you can grit your teeth and get through it and knowing, well, maybe I'll get a paycheck for it or whatever. You'll do the job because you have to. But do you do it willingly? As the example of Christ, who was the King of Kings and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and had every right just to command us to be servants. But there's a little phrase in here. He says, I have given you an example. And what an example of the Lord of glory to come down and to serve you and I.
Amen.
Back to that question, how are you doing? There's one thing I found. I was calculating how long I've been saved, and it comes out to be about 48 and a half years.
Amen.
I'm gaining on Lindell. But he keeps on running. I don't know. He keeps on ticking. He's like that ever-redder battery. He just keeps on going. But 48 and a half years, almost 49 years being saved, and I still realize how far I am from perfection. And when I heard Brother Lindell teaching on this chapter, I was just reminded how much that I am not a servant. And yet the great things in the Bible, and he talks about, we're going to read a few verses, if you want to be great in the eyes of God, then serve.
That's right.
Let's look at a few of those verses, if you will. I wrote them down. Normally I would have these already written out and read them for you, but we'll just go through the Bible here. John chapter 15 and verse 20. Jesus says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He says, do you remember the word? Isn't that what we were talking about a little bit more? Repetition is good. It's good to be reminded. Yes, I know Brother Lindell touched on this earlier, but it's good to be reminded. Jesus asked, do you remember? And many times our problems is we forget what the Lord has told us to do. He says, do you remember what I said? The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted the Lord, they're probably going to be persecuting you as well. Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 24. Verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. What did he say here? He said the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your Lord? If he's not, you ought to make him your Lord today. And you can do that by humbly bowing before him and calling upon his name, and he will save your soul. He's the only Savior. There's no other Savior. If you want to be saved, you got to come through Jesus.
Amen.
But I ask you as a believer, and I ask myself as a believer, is Jesus my master? I assent with a head and I would say, yes, he's my master. Yes, he's my Lord. Then he's saying, be as your master, be as your Lord. How's that coming for you?
Amen.
Luke in chapter 6. Don't you just love the Bible?
Amen.
In verse 20, verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? One of the dangers of those that think they can merit heaven or earn their way to heaven or be good enough to get to heaven is they always want to compare themselves amongst other people.
Right.
And there is a dangerous tendency to always pick people that are worse than you are. Always compare yourself to the down and out drunkard in the gutter. Always compare yourself to the drug addict or the murderer or the person in prison. There is a very rare tendency that somebody would compare themselves to someone better. But the comparison, my friend, when you stand at the judgment of God, is not going to be between you and the drunkard, not you and the drug addict, not you and the murderer. The comparison is going to be with the Lord of glory, the Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to compare you to him, and he's already told you, be as I am. Yes, he said, be ye holy. Is what he said. And that comparison is going to be made and you're going to be found lacking. You're going to, as it said, as Paul said, you're going to come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And if that be the case, how's it going for you?
Amen.
I would ponder to say, and I would dare to say, that our heart's response is, woe is me, for I'm undone. Just as Isaiah, when his eyes were lifted up and he saw the Lord lifted up, he said, woe is me, woe is me. Matthew chapter 20. You know, in reading the Bible, in over 48 years of reading the Bible, honestly, there are some boring parts of the Bible. All of the Bible is important, but let's be honest, there are some boring parts. There are some passages that are difficult to read, that's a real strain to read or even figure out what the meaning is. But at the same time, there's some place in the Bible that's really exciting.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. But as reading the Bible, there's something that came upon me one day. There are some important facts in the Bible. Jesus made mention of it, talking about, you know, if you don't understand certain principles, because these principles are all bound up in two laws. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
How's it going for you? I ask you as a Christian, I ask myself as a believer, how's it going for me? And sadly to say, I'm still far off. It's a great distance. It seems like it's on that other side of the ridge. It's way off over there. I can see the mark. I'm heading towards the mark. I'm endeavoring, but it seems like I'm going uphill. It's Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan where you're going up the sand dude. You take one step forward and two steps backwards. It just seems like you're not making any progress. I guess technically you're supposed to be two steps forward and one step backwards, but just doesn't seem like you're making progress. You take a great stride and you slide back. You take another great slide and you slide back. And only by a measurement of time can you see that any progress has been made. So here we look in Matthew in chapter 20 and verse 25. Listen to what the Word of God says. I say I'm in Matthew chapter 20. Verse 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Listen carefully, because he's talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
But it shall not be so among you, disciples. But whosoever will be great among you, disciples, let him be your minister, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, disciples, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen.
We like that last part, don't we? He gave his life for many. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. But are you a disciple this morning? Are you a disciple? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you raise your hand and say, I am?
Amen.
And a hearty amen to that. We thank God that he gave a ransom for many. He died for us. And yet this Lord that died for us and came and gave his life on the cross and was willing to be obedient unto the Father and submitted himself to the Father's will, even though he cried in the garden, oh God, if it be any way that this cross be taken away from me. He cried out, but not my will, but thine be done. There is the servant that went all the way to the cross for you and I and died in our place. And thank God the Father was satisfied with his sacrifice and he rose again the third day. Thereby we're justified in Christ Jesus. But he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be ministered. Tell me if this truth is not true in your life as it is in my life, that I have it backwards. I come to be ministered unto instead of meant to be ministered or to minister. How many of you came this morning with the intent to minister or to be ministered unto? How many of you came to church? Oh, I'm going to come because the preacher's going to bless me this morning.
Amen.
How many situations or conflicts in life can be brought back to this very verse here? Because it's about attitude. I have an opportunity to talk with my coworkers. I don't really get a lot of freedom to preach to them, but I try to give them little insights that will bring them to the gospel and make them think about the things of God. And I quote Brother Lindell quite often. I have his little sayings that he said over the years etched in my memory, and I'll make comments such as, I've got the world by the tail with a long downhill pull.
Yeah.
And all my coworkers are going, what? What? What are you, what? What are you talking about? Or I'll say, the biggest problem in life is right between your two ears. What? What? What's going on? It's attitude, isn't it?
Yes.
We get disappointed because we have expectations and those expectations are not fulfilled. Isn't that right? Every conflict in marriage, every conflict in business, every conflict in the family, every conflict in school can be brought back to this one verse. That we had expectations that they would minister unto us in such and such a way that would be satisfying us instead of us ministering unto them. Somebody says, should you hire a Christian plumber? It's dangerous. I'm picking on Josh here. He's our new plumber here. Where's he at? There he is over there. He's our new plumber. The problem we have when two Christians engage in a contract is they both expect the other to behave as a Christian.
Yes.
So I'm not picking on you. I'm just using you as an example. Okay. You just happen to be a plumber. So the plumber gets a call from the brother. Says, "Hey, can you come fix my pipes?" And he said, "I'll be happy to do it." And he's going over there. He's thinking, "Wow, I get to serve a Christian. Finally, somebody's going to pay me what I'm worth." And the Christian that called him is thinking, "Man, I'm glad I got a Christian plumber. I know I'm going to get a deal." And they meet at the door and there's conflict. Why? Because they both came into the situation expecting to be ministered unto. Jesus came, notice what he says, "even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." That is an attitude. That is a problem that's encountered between these 2 ears. And that is the difficulty. How's it going for you? It's not going well for me.
Amen.
The longer I live, the more I realize I'm really a narcissist.
Right.
I thought it was the other people that were narcissists. I thought it was the woke generation. I like it the way they say it in Poland. You're the Pinpek Światem. You think you're the belly button of the world. Look in Philippians in chapter 2, because we do have an example. He says, "I have given you an example." Aren't you glad there are some examples?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad when the teacher or the instructor or the guide or the journeyman sets out and shows you how it can be done?
Right.
Aren't you glad for that?
Yep.
Our Lord came. He could have commanded. How many of you have been in the military? I salute you. Thank you for your service. But you that have been in the military, you appreciated the officer that got to his rank by going up as a non-com, and he got promoted for merit to an officer because you know that he had been down and dirty in the trenches with you. And you like that type of boss. You like that type of commander that's willing to get down and dirty and willing to show you by example rather than sitting up and giving commands. Anyone in the military doesn't like the lieutenant that just came out of officer's training school. Because they got the rank and they got the power. It's one of the problems with young preachers. They like that power. And they have a tendency to lord it over instead of leading by example. Jesus led by example. My boss asked me, what kind of leader do you want to be? I want to be a leader by example. That's my goal. That's my mark. And yet I find myself in looking in the light of the scriptures and comparing myself not to you, but the Lord Jesus Christ. I find myself wanting to be the Pinpek of the world. A narcissist. But listen to what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," there it is, "let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Is it hitting you in your heart like it's hitting me? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God." If you didn't get that, he's God. "But made himself of no reputation." There's his will. He willingly did this. "Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of" what?
A servant.
"And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he" what? "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death,
amen,
even the death of the cross. There's your example.
Amen.
He left the glories of heaven and became a man. Not just any man, the man.
Amen.
And he became obedient unto death. He humbled himself. So hard to humble yourself, isn't it? Back in our text, the servant. The servant is not above his master. Then he says, in our text here, he says something very interesting. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Do you know these things?
Amen.
You know, the lack of knowledge can be very dangerous. Why would you go down a road that has a washed out bridge? Why would you do that? Ignorance. You didn't know about it. Woe be the man that knew the bridge was washed out and goes down it anyway. But I'm not talking about that. Most of us, when we encounter something in our life that's difficult, or we come across a bridge that's been washed out, we got there unknowingly.
Yeah.
We didn't know about it. Had we known, we had gone a different direction. Had you known that the power was out, you would have printed your message out in the evening. But you didn't know. Right? Had you remembered that it was your wife's birthday today, you would have done something. But you forgot. Lack of knowledge will get you into trouble. Yeah? You cannot plead ignorance. Sometimes ignorance is not good enough. I remember driving in Mexico in Irapuato, Guanajuato. Joe West and I had just moved over there, and I was headed over, we were headed over to the store to pick up some supplies or whatever, and we were approaching a light, and we had to turn around to get to that side of the street because the road, there was no way to cross over. They had the little, the paved median, you couldn't cross over, so you had to go down to the light and try to come back that way. And I got down to the light. As I'm approaching the light, I said, Brother Joe, do you see any signs that would prohibit me from doing a U-turn? And we looked to the left, we looked on the road, I looked up, I looked everywhere. I even asked Brother Joe, do you see anything? He said, I don't see anything, go for it. I did. As soon as I did, there's a policeman waiting for me. And he came up to the window and he said, listen, sir, give me your driver's license. I got to speak to him. He said, you're not from here, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, you did a U-turn back there. You're not allowed to do a U-turn there. I said, well, officer, I looked. I didn't see anything on the street painted. I didn't see a sign. I looked up at the light. There was no light. I looked to the right. I looked to the left. I said, I didn't see any sign that it said you couldn't do a U-turn there. He says, well, there used to be a sign there. I said, what? Yeah, a drunk ran over here a couple weeks ago, and we just haven't got it repaired yet. You should have known. What am I saying? I'm saying that ignorance is not always bliss. And ignorance can be deadly.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't know the well was poison and you drink from the well, you die. Even though you're ignorant, you die in your ignorance. So Jesus says this big if ye know, if, since I'm honoring Brother Kincaid this morning, he's been on my mind here. I have to read the poem. So I'm going to do that by Kipling. Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and you don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of the pitched and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can focus, if you can force your heart and nerve to show, to serve your turn long after they are gone. If so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Yeah. If it's conditional. If ye know these things, do we know these things? Maybe you're ignorant. That's why he said, go into all the world and teach. Teach. Preach. Why? We want to do away with ignorance. This great nation of ours, they taught people how to read and write. It became preeminent in our schools. And guess what they were teaching to read from? The Bible.
Yeah, amen.
And Pilgrim's Progress. That's another great book. You ought to read it sometime. Ignorance. Ignorance, it can be destructive. And so Jesus asked this, or he states to his disciples, if ye know these things. He just gave them an example. Do you understand what I've done unto you? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Do you have an example in the scriptures to serve? Is there an example in the scriptures to serve? Is there a command in the scriptures to serve? Is there instructions on how to serve in the Bible? Then you and I, we have no claim of ignorance. I know all of us have in the back of our mind, if I don't know about it, then I won't be held accountable. We have that delusion in our mind, thinking, you know, I don't have to worry about it because if I don't know about it. And that's why people, they don't want to talk about the Bible, because they don't want that to be on their conscience. They don't want to be thinking about it because they delude themselves thinking that if I just remain ignorant, I'll have no responsibility. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. You don't have that excuse, even though it's a wrong excuse, it's a false excuse. You don't have that excuse because you know.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
You know, and I know. I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's so far from me. I find myself living in chapter 7 of Romans instead of chapter 8. And if you don't know what that is, go home and read it.
Amen.
John in chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus goes over into Samaria, very perplexing for disciples. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he goes through Samaria and his disciples in town buying bread and food. He sits at a well and a Samaritan woman comes up to him. Verse 9, and then said the woman of Samaria unto Jesus, unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto him, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. If you knew the gift of God. Did you know that salvation is the gift of God? Do you know the difference between a gift and a wage? God has offered salvation as a gift.
Amen.
not as a payment.
Amen.
God is freely giving the gift of eternal life. He's giving it away. Do you know the gift? He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee. So there's two things you got to know. You got to know the gift. You got to know about it, that it's being offered. And you got to know who's offering.
Right.
Both are important. Because some people offer that which they cannot give. Religion makes a lot of promises that they can't keep. Isn't that true?
Yes.
But Jesus, being God manifest in the flesh, it states of him, he cannot lie.
Amen.
So if he promises it, we have a guarantee. There's no guarantees in life. But Jesus gives us a guarantee that's infallible.
Amen.
It's unbreakable because he cannot lie. It's not possible for him to lie. And he gives a promise. If you come to him, he won't cast you out.
Amen.
If you trust him, he'll save your soul. So he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you have the knowledge? Ask, and he'll give. Then he says in our text, what does he say in conclusion? He says, if ye know these things, do you know them? Happy are ye if ye do them.
Amen.
Now, in our Constitution, or do I should say the Declaration of Independence, it says this, I just want to remind you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. It's not a guarantee of happiness. It's an opportunity to pursue it freely.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, if you want to be happy, do these things that I just showed you to do.
Right.
And that is the problem for you and I as fleshly beings, not thinking spiritually. It seems like a contradiction. It seems like if I want to be happy, I'll be the Lord. If I want to be happy, I'll be the king. If I want to be happy, I'll be the master. If I want to be happy, I'll be the commander. Jesus says, if you want to be happy, serve. Do you want to be happy? Anybody here want to be happy? You want to be happy? Nobody wants to be happy. Oh, there's one. I got a second. And is there a third or fourth? Anybody else want to be happy? There, we got two right here. You want to be happy? He says, do as I have done. There's the problem. It's a conflict. I want to be happy, but there's a cost. How much do you want to be happy? Are you willing to pay the cost? Because what I'm seeing in the scriptures is the cost to happiness is a cross that we don't want to bear. There's a cross standing there. On the other side is happiness. But the only way we're going to get to happiness is through the cross. But we don't like that cross. And we scheme and we plan and we rebel and we buck up and we harden.
Amen.
We do everything we can to avoid the cross. And there's Jesus standing and he says, do you want to be happy? You'll be happy if you do these things. Those that have tried it have declared it. It's true. It's true.
Amen.
Are you depressed? You suffer from anxieties? Serve.
Amen. Amen.
Serve.
Amen. Good point.
Serve others. Get your mind off yourself. Serve others. Do you want to be happy? You know what I wrote down, because I was doing a little bit of reading on the on the Declaration of Independence. I just going to throw these out. These are just extra. Did you notice it said that all men are created?
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Our founder said all men are created. If they're created, there's a creator.
Amen.
It doesn't say we all evolved. It says all men are created equal. Now, obviously, he's not talking about in beauty. We don't have the same beauty. Obviously, some women are more beautiful than others. Yes? And all women are more beautiful than men. Some men are born with two hands. Some are only born with one. So it's not talking about something physical. We're created equal in the sense that we all have unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have the right by your Creator to seek after happiness.
Amen.
And your Creator speaks to you in John chapter 13. And he basically says, do you want to be happy? Do as I've done. Do you want to be happy? Serve.
Amen. That's true.
How bad do you want to be happy?
Yeah. Amen.
Enough to take up your cross and follow him?
Yeah.
Enough to humble yourself? Enough to deny yourself? Enough to serve? And then when you think, well, you know, I put in my 8 hours, and then you go into the master's house and he says, fix me dinner. Boy, you were going so well. I mean, you were plowing the field. You were sowing the seeds. You put the horse back in the barn and you worked 8 hours in the sun. Okay, let's put it 12 hours. You worked 12 hours in the sun. You got a good suntan. The sweat is, you're feeling good. You think I'm going to go in and get myself something to eat. You walk into the house and the master says, hey, I ain't had supper yet. Would you make it for me?
Yeah.
And what is your attitude?
Yeah, right.
I've served all the day. And I still have to serve. Because if you're anything like me, I'm willing to serve when it's convenient. When I'm feeling good. When I don't have a headache. When everything's going my way. When it's comfortable. Yeah? When it's pleasurable. He says, you're just an unprofitable servant. And if you want to see that, you can see that in Luke chapter 17. I have a couple more points before I conclude. As I was saying, I was reading about our Declaration of Independence and thinking about this great nation of ours and thinking, what does it mean to pursue after happiness? And so we'd have to define what is happiness. Well, the first thing comes to mind, it probably comes to yours, riches. If I just could get enough money, I would be happy. But then I found there's a lot of rich men that aren't too happy.
That's right.
So I scratched that one off. Success. If I could just be successful, then I would be happy. Except there's a lot of successful people that aren't happy. Healthy, if I was only healthy, if only if I could get rid of this headache, if only I could get rid of this sore toe, if only I could get rid of this backache, if only I could get rid of this other pain and woes that I have, if only I would be healthy, then I would be happy. But then I found that healthy people aren't always happy, and I've seen some people that are very unhealthy and they're very happy. Just as I've seen very poor people that are very happily unsuccessful people, that somehow they're happy. What does that tell me? It tells me that happiness is not found in riches. Therefore, do not pursue riches.
Amen.
Oh, if I could only get married, then I would be happy. We are walking on dangerous ground. Many a man has regretted that decision. And many a woman has regretted that decision. If I could just get married and have a baby. If I could only have children, that would make me happy. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people married and they're not happy. A lot of parents have children and they're not happy. Where is happiness then found? Well, I'll give you a clue. Jesus said, happy are ye if you do these things.
Yes. Amen.
How about doing the will of God and then finding happiness?
Amen.
How about realizing there is no peace with the wicked?
Right.
That if you walk with the Lord, you're going to find happiness. Solomon, he found happiness. A queen comes all the way over to visit Solomon. He says, all your servants are happy. How about serving the Lord?
Amen.
You might find happiness. He said, he that cannot lie said, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, do you know them?
Amen.
Knowledge will not bring you happiness. You have to do them. You have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only.
Amen.
If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. How are you doing? That's a question for you. Not your neighbor. Not your wife. Not your husband. How are you doing? Because you are going to give an account.
Amen.
Just as I am going to give an account. We're all going to give an account to God. And if you're really seeking after happiness, Jesus just gave you the answer. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Amen.
Are you willing to do them?
Yes.
Is it your mark, your goal? Maybe it is true that it's two steps forward and one step back. But you keep on going, and one day you'll find yourself at the top of the hill. Let's pray. Father, there are many promises in the Bible that are crystal clear. And the promises so many times come with conditions, which are also crystal clear. And the difficulty we have, the dilemma we have, is how to do those things when we're so weak. The answer is that we just come to you and ask for mercy.
Amen.
And so I ask for you this morning to give us mercy.
Amen.
God, don't give up on us. I'm so thankful that you promised to finish the work.
Amen.
And Lord, we don't want to be ungrateful servants. And we want to be happy. And we know how to be happy now.
Yeah.
Help us to do it.
Amen.
If there's anybody in the sound of my voice that's not saved, I pray that they would come to know you as their Savior.
Yes.
That they would know the gift of God and know you. And ask you for the living waters. Lord, I ask for myself and I ask for my Christian brothers and sisters that you would be helpful. Seems like there is a verse in scripture that talks about happiness is for those that have the God as their help. I think that's in the Psalms, Lord. And those that trust in you. Lord, help us to trust in you.
Amen.
Have mercy upon us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. May the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you. If you have any questions about the Bible, we'd be more than happy to talk to you. Hope to see you back tonight.